Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to another reality show. I'm your host, Golden Hawk. And it's Thursday, my favorite day of the week. And not just because it's the radio show, because Thursday was actually the day of the week that I was born. There have been a lot of auspicious things happening to me on Thursdays. Of course, once I had the opportunity to come to Blog Talk Radio and pick the day that my show would be on, I literally went, okay, we're putting it on Thursdays, because this just is since I'm a little girl, and not just the day I was born, but there have just been amazing things that happened to me on Thursdays. And to this very moment, I get very excited about Thursdays. Of course, now I have the show, so that certainly helps everything. So anyways, I hope everybody's week has been going well. Let's all sit back for a moment, shut our eyes, and take a nice deep breath. And let's all, together as a group, whether it's in this live now, or as I'm learning, future nows are really all simultaneous now. So really, the now is whenever you hear this. Let's all as a group invite in our essence into our bodies. It is such a powerful experience to invite your essence to come in and play in the third dimension. Along with this aspect of self, we have so many aspects of self all over the cosmos, dimensions, planetary experiences, physical, non-physical, liquid, gas, energy. It's amazing, but when we invite our essence into the physical dimension, this dimension, I can't even call it the third dimension anymore because it's actually the fourth. And in all honesty, many of us are actually experiencing the fifth dimension. And beyond that, it doesn't even go into numbers. I think what we're really doing is experiencing personal dimensions that are catered, tailored, and created to our frequencies. And inviting in our essence to these frequencies and these experiences is like ordering an 18-wheeler load of unconditional love. I mean, it is just, it's phenomenal. And I don't know, between the moon and solar flares and pyramids showing up in Mexico or somewhere, Brazil, but personally, I have been experiencing really deep and profound experiences of self-love, self-awareness, and a genuine acceptance of everyone around me. The beautiful people on Facebook have been so inspirational to me. The kids that I'm taking care of with my nanny gigs have been so inspirational to me. And my dreams, that's another big thing. Since I've been calling in my essence, oh my God, my dreams are becoming really inspirational to me. It's almost like I'm living out certain experiences in my dreams that bring me to a space of real deep peace and a satisfaction that goes beyond, you know, the satisfaction we get when we get a new car. I mean, I'm talking about the satisfaction we get when we have a divine moment of interconnectedness with life itself, and you go, wow, like, you just get it for a moment that you are more than your physical being. And you might not be able to explain it, but you know it. So I really enjoy starting off my shows welcoming in the essence as a group, because I know from experience group work is powerful work. And like I said, live or archive, it's happening now. You're in the group as long as you're listening to this, and you're inviting in your experience, your essence. So welcome our essence, and let's welcome Jeff and Dawn. Welcome to the show, you guys.
Glad to be here.
Well, it's wonderful to have you. Welcome to the show, Dawn.
Hi, Goldie.
How are you?
I'm good. It's a beautiful day here in Wisconsin.
Excellent. Yeah, so it's been a couple of months since we all, you know, chatted and gabbed. Jeff, I wanted to let you know, too, that one of my favorite people on Facebook shared when I wrote that you were coming on that they loved our shows because me and you talk a mile a minute and that they just got a real kick out of that. I said, And I said I was going to tell you on the air, too, because, yes, we do tend to, you know, elbow our way through the conversation and speed by in lightning speed. So I thought you would enjoy knowing that, that someone else noticed that as well.
Great.
So, you know, today we're, it's kind of an open forum. You know, I figured that, you know, clearly there's plenty to talk about, you know, from, I don't know about from you, but from my own personal experiences, my depth of awareness, as, you know, you might kind of get a sense from, you know, in my opening, just feels really, like, you know, intensely going beyond layers that I've never gone this deep. And let me, it's interesting, simultaneously, it's not just deep within myself, but as I go deep, my expansion is simultaneously felt. So it's deep within me and then expansion throughout, you know, like a cosmic experience. You know, Bashar says it as Homo Galactica. And I resonate deeply with Homo Galactica and that, you know, we're humans, but clearly there's a galactic part of us, and I've been resonating with that as well. So, I don't know. is there a bus out there that I just ran into? Woo! Okay, come back to Earth, Goldie, because God knows Jeff loves to play with the words. So, Jeff, talk
to me. No, you're actually...
What would you like to talk about?
No, you're actually fine. I get what you're talking about. In my sense, because we're talking about expanding to who we truly are and accepting who we really are, and that comes in any way, shape, or form. There is no right or wrong way about how we go about our spirituality and how it expresses itself. I mean, and that's the, for me, the essence of life is just that, the expression of how you choose to be, the expression of your personal joy, the expression of your heart, the way you expand, the way you love, the way you have fun. This is all about how we mix it up within our lives. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. And it's everyone's personal experience. And it's kind of funny when we have people that are having their personal experience and then they share it with someone and then someone looks at us like we are crazy and then we go, okay, maybe it wasn't right. But it wasn't for the other person to validate and justify. It was for you to have. And so that's, I totally get and understand that. So I love that feeling.
Awesome. I do as well. I mean, like, it's funny because the things that I'm learning are helping me understand the extremes going on in my life. Now, I mean, Dawn's known me for a couple of years, but, you know, when you do intense things together, you really tend to get to know somebody. So I'm sure on some level she gets that I'm an extreme person. But I've never had such awareness, which almost seems like the zero point of extreme. You know, extreme is, you know, you're either, so to speak, in this dimension, you're going left or you're going right or you're going up or you're going down. But I'm at the zero point where the understanding, it's, in other words, I'm going deep into fears and having tremendous peace around it. And it, for me, I'm just like, almost like what you said, it feels like it's a validation of my experiences, which, I mean, from my perspective, just makes me that much more open to share the extremes that I'm living. You know, where it used to be, you know, I was open to sharing things, definitely, but I also got that people are like, you know, well, then you're a hypocrite if you walk in this path and talk in this path. And I never quite knew how to bridge that. I didn't feel hypocritical. I just, my unique thing is I play in the darkness. That's where I play. That is where I get my level of awareness that helps me ascend. And I've just never have I felt the experience or had the awareness. That really is awareness for me is like what is genuinely different about this moment, you know, in my experience than any other moment or any other frequency or however you want to term it, because I get that there's only one moment.
So, you know,
Goldie, my perception of this moment. What?
So you're saying it's your darkness, but maybe it's your light. It might be someone else's perception of darkness. But
well,
if it's the way that you're moving through your ascension, it's your light. Because there's really, it's the illusion of light and dark anyways, right? And it's the perception that we put on right and wrong. And the perception of judgment of how we move through life. So what may be dark to someone else is light for you because it's helping you move and shift in your life.
Perfectly stated. Yes. I think because I'm experiencing, like I've always had a knowing underneath in the sense of I'm just following, so to speak, I won't call it my bliss, but there's an excitement I get in danger zones. You know, some people do extreme skiing and some people jump out of airplanes. I do extreme relationships. I don't know if this will be forever because one thing I am clear, what it's helping me understand is me as the creator, me just exactly like you said, me as a light being, and also me that if I want to, I can have I can honor both experiences and have a preference without dishonoring one of those experiences.
Right.
You know,
it's where you're in alignment right now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's profound. I mean,
yeah,
it's
you
profound.
Know. So, you know, one of, you know, a good friend of ours who channels, she's always like, what are you choosing now? What are you choosing now? So it's being in that present moment, opening up to exactly what that presence is bringing you in the moment. Is it really extreme, or is it, I met this wonderful Zen Buddhist priest this last weekend, and she really showed us how what we may think is extraordinary at some level is really ordinary.
That's very Osho. So I absolutely, I don't have the answer
part of,
yet. Yeah.
It's part of your perception of what that is.
Right.
You know? If that's the way you're always living in your relationships, that is your ordinary way.
That's true. And that is how I've pretty much always been. I mean, that's true. But it's something that I always thought I needed to, you know, like, I don't know. The first word that comes to mind is I needed to recover from this. As if it was a sickness or something.
Right,
and,
like
and
it was
not
broken. Like something was broken in me that, you know, and it's just the way you're playing the game of life right now.
No, indeed. Indeed. Because another thing, and I'm curious if you guys are feeling this as well. I have woken up with an absolute confirmation as well as a knowing that I was born to be here right. Like, I was born so I could be in this now moment. It was everything beyond just this planet, like everything. It's like, you know, the best way to explain it, remember when Al Mean used to say, not everybody's note comes on at the same time?
Right.
I feel like in an orchestra, if it was a song, you know, the way we get the song is that people's notes come on when it's their divine time, that the note, that their note would, you know, be, you know, resounded.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like my note right now is on. And I, it's like I know it. And I don't know exactly how, you know, it's going to manifest or anything like that. Just a feeling inside me of a confidence that I'm supposed to be here. You know, my, like I said, the best way I know how to describe it is my note has been, you know, my string has been plucked and I'm vibrating right now in the orchestra or the song of life. Are you feeling that?
And how cool is that, that, you know, I love when you say, I don't know how it's going to play out, because that's part of it, is just opening up to seeing, you know, what the possibilities may be, and just allowing the flow to occur. You know, I was talking with some friends a couple weeks ago, and I was like, gosh, you know, when I got attuned to read Akashic Records, it was like, you know, this was like 8 years ago or whatever, you could read into the future. You know, you could look at what the possibilities into the future were.
Right.
It's really, that's not really the case for me anymore. It's like we're so many of us are so present right now.
Yeah.
And like you said earlier, everything is exactly now. It's all simultaneous.
Yes.
You know, it's part of the whole Mayan calendar thing, I believe, is that, you know, years ago in the Mayan calendar, the days were long, right?
Yeah.
In the Mayan calendar right now, the days are very short.
Yeah.
And so, you know, this whole idea of where am I going? Well, it's pay attention right now where you're going. You know, where am I, and be really present right now and enjoy and relish exactly right now so you can have that fuller experience.
Or before you know it, the brick wall will show up. I see it all the time. And the little kids that walk forward and look backwards. And I'm like, you know, Zahana, Zahana, watch where you're going. And I'm like, and I look and I see adults doing that all the time, because isn't that symbolic? Moving forward, but you're in your past. Well, you're
right.
Going to live,
I mean,
into things.
Very much so. Many of us live in our past. You know, carrying
perceived
all
past.
Of that past.
Perceived past.
Sure.
Right.
Perceived past experiences
right.
into now. Or we live towards the future. Oh, here's my goals, that what I want to accomplish. You know, what I want my children to do. What I want, you know, want to send my children to college. Or, you know, all of these future things.
Yes.
And you know, so many people aren't really fully living right now. And
well,
my daughter's really,
think,
my daughter's really giving me a whole new experience of that, because
okay.
with her being in Afghanistan, she's like, you know, it's, she's like, I have to be so present every moment because this is all there is.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
for a
yeah.
you know, 6 month period.
As a parent with a child, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well,
so,
I'll tell you, I have friends of mine, well, this one woman in general, I mean specifically, her sister died last year, and then her brother died a few months ago. And I'm like, oh my God, you know, like a 1-2 punch. And I mean, the only thing I keep sending her is, in the present, they still exist. They're just changing forms here. You
mm-hmm.
know, but, I mean, it's like, wow, I mean, just from my own experience, I'm like, I mean, I was floored when my mother died, and it took me 6 months to take my first breath. I couldn't, I was like, wow, everybody's journey is getting so intense because, you know, everything is in a divine time, because if everything's happening now, everything that people are going through from collapses and breakups and health issues, you know, loss of jobs, losing houses, having to move, babies, deaths, you know, everything across the spectrum, for me, just seems there's an intensity. It's weird because it almost feels like the world is caught up to Goldie. And I say that in laughter because whenever I get into a nervous spot, just so everybody knows, I laugh. You know, when I was a kid and my mom, you know, I would call her up at 12 o'clock because one of my rides flaked on me and be like, Ma, you know, I need a ride. She'd be screaming at me, you better start walking. You know, I'll pick you up when I feel like it. And I would start cracking up because that's just how my body reacts in fear. So I don't want anybody to think I'm insulting them. That's just what I do. But
well, you know, Goldie, when you say that, my experience is people who are really trying to get in alignment with being present and with their spiritual connection are having all these things come up. People who are actively in the present and really honoring the way their life is flowing and that type of thing are
right.
Just really opening at this greater level of expansion and love. And so the people who are having a lot of stuff come up, it's like they're wake-up calls, you know, like,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Here's another thing. Which way are you going to move? Here's another thing. You know, how are you going to align with this? How are you, you know, going to flow with it? And so it's really an exciting time because I have this one beautiful client who I've been working with, I don't know, 2 or 3 years. And last fall, I had kind of like had it with her, like, okay, she's not making any changes. I've been working with her, everything I know, I've been teaching her.
Right.
And she's still in all this drama, right? Well, she came back to me like, I don't know, May or June. She's really getting it now.
Yeah.
And all her family drama, she's kind of letting drop. And she's
wow.
really opening up to her own gifts and having this really deep expansion for herself. And so, you know, it is exciting to, you know, work with people and watch people. And
shucks, I'm excited just with my own experiences. I mean,
I
honored, Dawn, you have such an exquisite way about you. Me, I haven't quite the confidence yet. I don't want to say it that way. It's happening. It's happening to me where I'm noticing people on Facebook or my friends who are calling. You know, I'll just speak my truth. And Jeff, I don't know if you experience this because I sense a resonance between us. And I'm not saying that I don't feel resonance with you, Dawn, but your way is you have the most gentlest punch. You really do. You are you're fabulous in your paradoxical teachings. Where me, I mean, I am hitting you with a sledgehammer. You know, it's like, you know, this is how Goldie sees it. You're either prepared for it or, you know, it's almost, you love me, you hate me. And in all honesty, at this point, there's so much happening within my own being, like I said, of awareness and experiences that I'm not even thinking about, okay, how do I start teaching this, so to speak, or can I counsel? And it's not that, you know, I feel that I am a teacher, but I don't feel in that space, and this is partially why I said to you what I said to you before the show started, that perhaps it's time for me to clear the physical being, because I don't feel in the space to, like, I don't want to, I guess the best way, I'm not yet ready to hear other people's stuff and still keep it in neutral in the sense of I'm grounded in this. You know what I'm saying? Because this is all very new to me, this grounded through the void.
Well, I think you're doing an amazing job. And, you know, you're just, it's who you authentically are. And
yes.
I have my whole life been a little bit gentler person. But there was a time period, too, when I was doing, like, some mystery school training and stuff like that where my teacher would
right.
go, you're being a little harsh on that, or you're, like, kind of knocking them upside the head with that information, aren't you, Dawn? And I'd go, yeah, but isn't that what they need?
Well, and that's what I always say.
And that's who I am, you know?
Exactly. Some people do actually... I don't know if it's a sadistic or masochistic, but some, you know, I do believe there's, so to speak, an audience for everyone. So like I said, I do have some people who, you know, they're in my circle of friends and they call me and, you know, they're like they'll listen to me and then they'll hang up and go, you know, bitch. And then they'll call me 6 months later and go, God, you were right on the money. Everything you said happened. And, or, you know, or, that's what I needed to hear. And I'm like, okay, and I got tough skin, so I'm cool with that, so to speak. You know, I get that we're not, I don't feel yet the space to hang out the, what do they call that, the shingle. I mean, and I do believe it will come. I believe it will come when, because right now also the nannying is bringing me tremendous frequencies. I mean, the frequencies come in through the kids.
Right.
It's like I'm hanging around masters. Literally.
Right.
3-year-old. Like, this little boy came over today. His mom went with Anya's mom to the school to meet the first grade teachers. And what a little trooper. This guy has, this little guy has a spinal issue, so he's in a brace. He's had, like, 6 operations. He's only 3. And he cried when his mom first left. And I looked at him and started talking physics to him. Like I was saying to him, his name is Christopher. I go, Christopher, I know you want your mom to come back. And I went through the whole thing. Mommy will be back. First we covered that. But then I went into, Christopher, if you enjoy yourself right now, time will disappear. And before you know it, in the midst of all you're enjoying yourself right now, Mommy's going to come walking through the door. You're not even going to be thinking about it, and it'll happen so much sooner than if you focus on her being gone. It's going to feel like 3 days in this one. And it was an hour. She was going to be back in an hour, which I clearly got. An hour on this frequency is kind of like, whoo, we could blink and it could be over. And when I said that to him, he's 3. He smiled, started eating the food she brought, and then he got up. I mean, it was like, I mean, I'm talking like quantum physics to a 3-year-old, and they're responding in kind.
Yeah.
Because they still understand it. They get it.
They really do. They really do. It's
awesome. I mean, look at some of the things that you've been saying here for as far as how you feel about yourself right now and what's going on here. You are giving off such a wonderful example of the conditioning that we've been given that holds us back from embracing our greatness or allowing our greatness or whatever form that it wants to express, which is perfectly fine. And really take a look at when you're feeling something, what are your emotions really telling you? And how have you set it up to have your emotions tell you these certain things? Because if we're going to talk about getting rid of our fears and what that's like, okay, well, how about getting rid of the idea of the fear of judgment?
What does that do?
Well, yeah, think of it, and it's pretty, you know, it can knock out a lot. Let's see if we can, you know, play around and really take some things off the plate here and see how that changes your perception on things, and you can have a lot more fun with it. Let's let go of the idea of the fear of being judged by a spiritual being. Now, see, this is what happens for me.
Okay,
When I'm thinking about this and when I get into this idea, okay, all of the perfection that we are a part of created all of us and is within all of us. And so this energy doesn't judge us at all. This energy is nothing but love. And since we have been conditioned by others that were looking for means of controlling us, this is what they told us. So if I can take the idea that, you know what, Spirit loves me for who I am, no matter what, you say God, Buddha, Krishna, whatever you believe in, that's perfectly fine. But whatever divine presence you believe in that is you, loves you no matter what, then it has no judgment of you, because judgment is a man-made issue. Love only knows love.
Yeah. And it's really unconditional love. It's not just love from, you know, because I think, you know, humanity has just twisted and turned this whole concept of love, you know, between our media and our culture and our religions, which are, you know, some severe spaces where we get, you know, quote-unquote, our wisdom. People don't even know what unconditional love is. I mean, I had an insight recently that, you know, the unknown, there's an excellent chance, and the unknown is unconditional love. I mean, not even an excellent chance. Like, I know. So it's like, just like what you're saying, how could I be afraid of unconditional love? You know, like,
and that's the thing right there. That is the, I mentioned about this in my next book, but that's the one piece right there. They teach you that there's the lesson that they teach us. It's all about suppression, separation, and having judgment put against you. And so if the first thing they teach you is that there is this outside greater being that created everything that is going to hold you in judgment, it's going to hold you in fear, it is going to hold you in denial, but it loves you.
Yeah, what a crock of shit.
So it sets you up for everything else.
It does.
Well, who says, why do we talk about unconditional love, period? Why is it's not just love.
Well,
right,
because the culture has. Well, I think because we have to, because I don't think a lot of people even, you know, I think we throw the words around unconditional. Like, how many times have you heard people talking and going, I love that person unconditionally. I just want her to change or want him to change, and then fill in the blank. And it's like, well, but you just put a condition on it. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like, we need to really look up the word. Unconditional means no conditions. You know, that means we love each other. We love the sinners. We love the saints. We love the criminals. We love the victims. We love the victimizers. I mean, I see it all the time, expressions of how people are feeling on Facebook. And part of my knowing that I'm in a present state of unification or whatever it is in this divine state is that I do feel loving to the people who are judging the situation, the dark, whatever, whether the oil spills or, you know, gosh, it's not like we have, you know, not a few things to pick from that we quote-unquote call dark.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly have a lot to pick from. And I don't think people truly are aware that in their judging of the bad, they are indeed in judgment. I don't know why that is not, that they're not aware of that, but that seems to be, through my witnessing this, that, you know, they become what they're judging.
Well, and that's the thing, too, that we can take the time that we have on this show tonight and to really shift that awareness, and it's going to, and it can be very very simplistic, is just the fact of really taking control of your presence of focus. And when you move yourself into the place of, because a lot of talk shows, they talk about the problem of things. They talk about the problem all the time. But they hardly ever spend any time on the solution, because they don't think the solutions that they come up with are ever going to be achievable. And I guess, and I tell you what, this is something that when we're talking about right here, right now, the presence of where we are within our relationship, within ourselves, within our self-love, within our self-talk. Now, when I say self-talk, the way I use words and the way you use words, Goldie, are completely different.
Okay.
Now, I'll say that, and I'll say this in the sense, too, that the way I feel about the words that I use is completely different about how you feel about the words you use. So you can say unconditional, and my immediate thought is total acceptance. And it's not like I have to go back and forth, because people want to keep talking about, well, this is what's going wrong and we need to talk about this. No, the best thing that you can do is to be the example of the exact opposite of that situation, where you can make your decisions based on what you want in your life rather than what you're running from. You're making your decisions on what's on what you feel is right for you rather than what's wrong.
Right, I absolutely agree. And I have to add that, first of all, thank you so much, because, I mean, you called me on that, and I don't know if other people find this, but when I'm writing, there is, quote-unquote, a Goldie voice. And when I'm when I say voice, not meaning it has to, it's a verbal, it's more like a perspective. And when I'm speaking, it's a different perspective than the perspective I have when I'm writing. And you just called me on it, because, see, on Facebook, I can, I'm typing. It's a writing type of thing. And I find myself totally in acceptance. Yet when I speak, it's almost like I'm engaging another part of my brain or something, or another part of my being, because you're absolutely right that I am, I tend to talk about what's wrong, and not always, but meaning I do bring it up, and you're absolutely right. Just focus on what is that you want, because that's the creation of it. It, you know, I'm learning that not only is there these, we're just in one now moment, I have a universe, you have a universe, Dawn has a universe, everybody listening has their own universe. So this isn't a matter of I have to change the world in order to live, quote unquote, heaven on earth. I have to be in the frequency of heaven on earth, and anybody else that's in that frequency will be in part of my experience. But it's my experience. I'm the one creating this heaven on earth, meaning an entire earth is mine. I mean, that is just like, you know, it's almost like if you're not ready, well, it's enough. Let's talk. Because I'm ready for this, instead of handing me a big old Uzi gun, so to speak, you know, something that could really do a lot of damage, it's like you gave me this device that all of a sudden I'm starting to actually understand and experience my world. I mean, that it's actually mine. This is my frequency, and the only one who puts me there is me, and if I don't like what's there, there's no one to blame. It's all me. It's all me. Not just the one moment, but everything I see is a vibration that is interpreted by me. You know, it's like that to me was it's not that I understand it from that I can write a book about it, but I'll have moments where there's just a knowingness about this, and it's like, wow. It just is very, it's profound. It's profound. And I keep seeming to create moments of silence on this show.
That's just me saving space for Dawn to jump in there, so that's all I'm doing.
Oh, okay. Well, and I honored that. Jeff, that's awesome, because That is definitely a connection I have with Dawn, that deeper space. And I don't mean to keep bringing us there. It's just where I am on this day, so to speak.
Well, the deeper spaces are awesome because they allow for, you know, energies to filter and move. And for me, when people keep talking, it's almost like a distraction for me because it doesn't allow me to fully filter that energy and find that space of resonance for me.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so when we're creating spaces, it allows for people to go into their silence of mind or into that void place and, you know, kind of check in with themselves and really see, oh, you know, am I alignment with this, or this is, you know, how I feel about this. So
it's
the thing that complicates it is you're on the radio and you don't want dead air time, right?
Yeah, but I'll be honest with you, I feel in these moments it's not dead air. I mean, people are genuinely absorbing it from an energy point of view. Because I can almost, at times, it's funny, I've had moments where I'm going, you know, I can see myself not doing the show anymore. Expressing myself differently, not through words, or at least not on a weekly 2-hour basis kind of thing. And you know,
right.
And it's funny because when I first get that, I'm like, no, don't think that, Goldie. You don't want that to happen. And then I was like, but you know what, if it's, you know, the divinity of my experience moving through and that's the next, you know, presenting itself in the next way it's going to present itself, I'm here to move energy. That is first and foremost my intention, not necessarily talk on the radio. Even though I like to utilize it now as a space to move energy, but that's not necessarily, it doesn't have to be that. You know,
Well, I have to say that I've been observing what you've been posting on Facebook lately, and I agree with you. I believe that what you're posting, what you're writing, is so profound sometimes. I'm not a big poster on Facebook, but I do kind of watch what's going on out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like just, you know, a couple days ago I thought, wow, this is like deep, Goldie, you know?
I
totally could see you being a blogger.
Well, indeed, that it's gonna, and it's so funny that because, and Jeff, maybe this could be what we could definitely work with if you want to. I have huge resistance to writing. Like one of the things Facebook is so beautiful for me is it's little sniglets. Like, but for me to sit down and write, something in me still, I don't know. Even though, you know, again, I think it's something to do with my physical, like, you know, the fact that I'm still eating carbs and sugar and I believe my next step is going to be when I clear, i.e. cleanse, however you want to term it, my physical being, that I will be in silence more and writing, and that the show will, you know, will not be here anymore.
Fine if you really like that and want to move along in that area. But
okay.
In another sense, that's just you telling yourself a story to keep holding yourself back from expressing who you really are. Because I eat carbs, do whatever the hell I want to do, and that doesn't stop me from expressing my opinion. That doesn't stop my life force from expressing itself through my body. And
what doesn't? What doesn't it stop you? Say that again, because I didn't catch it.
My whatever I'm eating, whatever I'm doing, doesn't stop my life force from expressing itself through my body. it doesn't stop me from living my life, no matter what I've done, no matter how much sugar I've eaten or, you know, what my body looks like, because, you know, I'm not those things. I'm not defined by those things. And whatever that you have resistance to, you can take a look at it and say, why are you resisting it? And then looking at what, how you've given it meaning. And if you're resisting it, you've given it a meaning of limitation. And you can take that opportunity because, Goldie, if you're writing something and it's true and it's good enough for you, that's all it ever has to be. And I like to write things, and I put things out there, and I let people read them and things like that because I just love doing it because this is who I am, and people like some of the things that I say. Some people don't like some of the things that I say. That's okay. But at least they have the idea that they can do something different. But what's most important is that I expressed myself honestly. And this is what we're talking about, is living your life and expressing yourself honestly, expressing yourself authentically. And if there is no right or wrong way, anything that we have that is a present limitation, a present limiting thought, we're creating that now. And it's based on something that happened in the past, because it's quite obvious that if you have a resistance to doing something that you haven't even started yet, it's not like someone's stopping you from writing.
Not that I haven't tried.
Taking the pen out of your hand.
I haven't tried.
Well, see, that's the thing, too. Like, really, look at how our society has set us up for little limiting thoughts and how you can, you know, hold yourself back from doing other things that you haven't even given yourself the, as to say, proper time to attempt to do it. People have a fear of public speaking. They say that that's the number one fear in, you know, in America, right? Okay?
Really?
But if that even sounds remotely, yeah, that was at one point. I don't know if it still is.
Bigger than death? But I would think death is a bigger fear than public speaking,
nope,
but okay.
Death is second. Death is second. So,
okay.
But get this. If you speak outside of your house, you are a public speaker. There is no, having that be, I mean, so that takes the fear of public speaking out of the equation, because if you speak to people outside of your home, you're a public speaker, you know? And so they think that, well, there's one or more people that are out there, and what is that really playing into? Well, that's playing into the idea of being judged by others, because check it out, going right back to my God analogy here, if I have this being that I believe in, and that he is looking at me with judgmental eyes, and now I have to try to jump through hoops for this omnipresent being, well, then my fellow man has no, you know, chance at all, because if I'm being judged, well, I'm judging you too, because it's making me uncomfortable. So for me to be happy, I'm going to judge you over here and have you jump through hoops so that I can feel good, because if I got to jump through hoops for this other person. And so that's what continuously perpetrates, because we never know total acceptance. We never know unconditional love. All we learn is this distrust, this separation, this suppression, because that's the idea that we're given. And so when we're taking this time right now and exercising and bathing in and basking in how wonderful we truly are, and it's here within this moment, when we move into this space and we can hear our true voice, not the voices of others that have been rehearsing within our minds. We move into this space, and this is where we feel that truth. This is where we feel that inner voice that is the life-affirming yes to everything that you desire, because your worthiness is without question. This whole universe, everything about our existence, can be about a joyous, expressive yes to life. And what we've been practicing is the suppression and the denial to life.
Well said. Well expressed. Well expressed. Welly expressed. I felt joy. Hey, I want to run something.
I have another.
Oh, go.
I have
go,
another.
Yes.
I have another take on this though too. Is I sense that this is this though can be. It seems to me as your excuse for. I'm now ready to make the next leap. And so as I'm talking about it, as I'm verbalizing this with people, I'm preparing myself, my physicalness, my, you know, my energetic, my bodies and all of this kind of stuff, saying, yes, I'm ready to move to another level, and this is part of how I'm ready to do that.
I resonate
so
with that as
I
well.
I would totally agree with Jeff that many of us use lots of things as our excuses to stay in fear and stay where we are, and yet it's also a way that we can, you know, start announcing, I'm getting ready to move to the next level. And I'm getting comfortable with the idea, and that's why I'm starting to talk about it now. And I'm starting to flow in that direction. And by the time I get to that place, I'll really be ready to make that leap.
Wow.
You know,
well,
it's kind of like
yeah.
the... Yes, it's kind of like yes. the Abraham thing, like, okay, I'm seeing it, I'm
yes.
looking at it, yes. I'm flowing towards it, I'm moving down that river nice and slowly, I'm not making the big leap from one bank all the way down to the bay,
right,
you know,
right.
I'm starting to flow that way.
Yes.
And so that, you know, that's another, a different way to open up and take a look at it. You know, and like Jeff said, feel, are you using it as an excuse to stay stuck? Or is this your way of kind of like saying, okay, I'm getting ready to move. And I'm not really ready to make that big leap today. I'm going to like start moving that way a little bit and energetically getting ready. So... you know, this is just a fun game of life, right? Look at all these different ways we can look at the same situation and come up with different perceptions.
Well, this is about, as Bashar has been showing me, life isn't either or, life is and. And.
Right.
This mm-hmm. Everything you guys both said works for some and doesn't work for, you know, meaning it. Nothing's exclusive. And here's the funny part about and. Acceptance accepts exclusivity as being part of creation, even if it's not our preference. You gotta love the paradox. So you accept
yeah.
exclusivity as a that's a that you know everything has value. Everything has value, and I'll tell you, the dance you guys do is actually like if I had to, you know. Plug into a little computer what I would want a conscious relationship to look like. That dance is definitely, by you two that I have experienced, is something I want. Because I don't want someone per se that's, you know, I breathe in, they breathe out, they breathe out, I breathe in. You know, let's be our own people here, folks. I need the autonomy of self, and I want that in my partner. And you both exquisitely express that, exquisitely. Because I resonate with both of you. I mean, I'm like, see, the interesting thing that I find myself in, and the authentic thing is, like right now I'm not guided to pick a career, so to speak, or a way to manifest this. I'm literally just guided in the moment to follow the joy. I just keep it. Follow the joy. Even if it looks like it's taking you, you know, around the back and down the steps, you know, it's leading me to where I am already, or where I'm, you know, like you said, wanting to be, because I have never in my life, Jeff, I'm 45 years old, and hands down, I absolutely agree, or have in the past anyway, or have up until this moment, agreed that what I eat and what I do in my body will not affect my ascension. I mean, when I smoke cigarettes, people used to come up to me all the time in the little health, you know, the light worker groups. You're not going to ascend because you smoke cigarettes. And I used to look at them and go, and your judgment will keep you with me. So,
yeah.
You know, so I totally, totally, deeply honor everything you just said because that has been my journey. And I can tell you that something is shifting from within. Because for me, when I quit smoking, I said, it's got to be in a way that it's just going to leave. I'm not going to kick my own ass because I feel it's the best thing to do. The truth is, when I was smoking, I was enjoying it, and I didn't apologize for it. Hey, I'm enjoying it. But I have noticed since not smoking, my deep breath has become, to me, what the deep inhalation of the nicotine and the smoke used to be for me. I mean, it like oxygen now gives me the rush through my body that nicotine used to give me. And so I'm hearing teachers saying that, you know, 90 to 95% of all issues with the physical body can be completely eradicated through deep detox cleanse. And he's talking about, you know, the liver, the pancreas, like, I mean, a deep body, because he was like, the toxins that are in our body are actually inhibiting the body's natural ability to heal itself. And so you got to get rid of them. I mean, I haven't experienced this yet, but I can feel it's getting planted in me. And, you know, Almeen, who I'm not following, quote unquote, like I was, but she spoke about the same detox, you know, because my goal is really that I want to experience these levels of multi-dimension that I have fleeting moments in, but, like, you know, I'm ready to plug my camera in, my video camera, and stick around, and, you know, because that's when I believe I'm going to write, when it's such a flowing connection because of my experiences. It's a flowing connection, not just a sporadic wake up in the morning and I'm in that frequency, or, you know, you know?
And the truth of all you've been through in your life to get that down in writing for others to connect with will be so profound.
Mm.
You know?
Thank you.
And so, you know, that it is an awesome gift to share.
Mm.
You know, I mean, lots of people live in the same place as you've lived. Or, I mean, I've lived in a lot of those places a long time ago, too. And you just bring those forward in a different way. For me, it almost feels like a different lifetime. You know, like, I'm not even that same person anymore because it was, you know, I've altered and shifted so differently. And, you know, so for you to still, like you said, be playing in that way of life and be able to get it on paper and share with people, or, you know, write it however,
mm-hmm.
you know, is really helpful in people's awakening process.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you know, it's funny. Since I'm like 13, I've been told I should write a book. I mean, you know, just let your imagination roam with that comment. I mean, I have definitely lived, you know, the wild razor's edge, I mean, all my life. And it's funny, though, part of the reason why I've lived the razor's edge, so to speak, is because there's always been an undercurrent that I could. You know, like part of the reason why I think I flirt with danger is, again, because there's this undercurrent that I can do it and not get hurt or not get
you
trouble,
and I have talked about.
Yeah,
yeah, you and I have talked about that before, how, you know, you absolutely knew, you know, when you were helping someone and being chased that
that's
you
exactly one of them. Yes.
That you were safe, you know, that you called in all of your essence and, you know, called in everything, and you were just going to be fine. And I hear that from people, and they're not as conscious that that's what they're doing.
Okay.
You know, so for you to be conscious of that and for you to share that with people and bring that to their awareness, you
well,
know, is
so
amazing.
It's a funny thing. Yeah, it's a funny thing because I think the consciousness comes from my willingness to live dangerously. Because I'll be honest, I'm never quite sure that I can do it, yet here I am, you know, there's the fire pit, and the next thing I know, I'm jumping in. In other words, I'm conscious that I move in dangerous spaces. I mean, because, you know, briefly I'm just going to share that right now I'm dating a guy and who's physical with me, physically violent with me. And,
mm-hmm.
yes, that's a dangerous space. But, there's parts of me that are drawn to this that I won't deny that which I'm, if I'm drawn to it, I know it's for me, even though clearly certain people I've told in my circle are like, are you out of your cotton-picking mind? And I'm like, well, you know, perhaps I am. But nonetheless, and you know, I want to make a note of this because I didn't know I was going to share this tonight, but it just feels right to do so. I am not telling people to live my life. I'm not commending this. I'm just telling you, in my life, I garnish wisdom and insights and empowerment by consciously walking a path that is what most other people call dangerous. And I didn't grow up in a household where, you know, my dad kicked my mom's ass. None of that. I'm 45 years old, and I've known this gentleman for a couple of years, and we've danced back and forth, and I am who I am, and I just know when I'm done with this relationship, it will be just like the cigarettes. There will be no desire to be there. It will be complete. I know when I'm complete with that. Because the people I've told, I laugh, because they're like, you know, the judgment around this issue is so powerfully obvious. You know, it's amazing how much people judge this, yet I would smoke cigarettes, I would smoke crack with some of the people I've told. That was fine.
Yeah.
Oh, it's okay that Goldie's killing herself that way. But God forbid someone's laying a hand on Goldie, and they're like, I can't believe it's you. You know, what? I thought differently of you. I thought you were somebody different. And I'm going, wow, look at the judgment. You know, so one way of killing me is okay, but another way isn't. You know,
right.
That was just my awareness of it. And that's why I said, listen, I get that you're not going to understand my choices. And that's why this is why I don't counsel. Because I don't necessarily understand my choices. I just know they work for me. And,
right.
You know,
and that's all they ever have to.
Right.
When we're playing around with this, because you said it so perfectly, all rules in this life are arbitrary. They are totally, totally arbitrary. And you have them in those situations where, okay, it's fine over here, but it's not over here. You know,
right.
They have people believe these rules like, thou shalt not kill. Then why are there wars going on?
Right.
You know, but this person, but there are people being oppressed. They're doing this, and all of this bad stuff is going on. So we must stop them somehow. And this is the only way. And we fall for it and believe in it and back it up and put things behind it. And, you know, so there they go. But you have all of these rules that are arbitrary. And, you know, we're talking about living our and expressing our personal freedom and things like that. And then when people do it and they say that they're in a relationship with someone and they do it with another person, ooh, bad Tiger Woods. You know, like he's the first and last person that's ever done that before.
Exactly.
You know, and you've got...
Exactly. And ironically, it was a Tiger Woods type of person judging me. I mean, he's literally a truck driver with, you know, girls in every port and a girl at home that wants to marry him. And I'm going, well, if that's not the kettle calling the pot black, okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's really funny when we're dealing with people and they want to talk about, you know, I want to live my life in total freedom. And then when people exercise that freedom outside of their comfort zone, wait a minute, buddy, hold on here. I'm uncomfortable here. I can't do this. And it's really funny to see how we are, you know, wired up that way.
Yeah.
Because even when we're talking about unconditional love or total acceptance, we still have our conditions.
Well, or at least, because, you know, it's so interesting, too, because the gentleman who drives the truck is an ex of mine, that for, like, I'd say about the last year and a half, I have put energy into us giving it another try. And it's so funny because I would say to him things like, you know, don't you want to be moved by love? You know, because he would tell me, you know, he's got the girl at home and, you know, the six other girls en route to California. And I never felt his emotions move, you know. And he's, to me, I mean, I love him dearly. He's one of my best relationships I've ever had in the sense of we loved each other as opposed to teaching each other from our shadow side. But what's so interesting about it is when I told him this, which kind of had nothing to do with him, you know, because I was really being kind of flippant about it. Like, he called me up and he goes, what are you doing? And I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna fly around a hornet's nest today and, you know, see what I catch. You know, and he was like, what does that mean? And when I told him, the interesting part that I took also out of the conversation was for the first time in a year and a half, his emotions had shifted. He had become speechless. He was like, he was emotionally moved when I couldn't move him emotionally, whether towards a loving experience or towards, you know, the recognition that, listen, you've got all these women, you're lying to everybody. You know, maybe that's not the most ethical way to live, even though, you know, he in his own mind believes it's okay, and in his, it is for his world, you know, this is all about non-judgment, but he's very unemotional about it, and it just was like, I was really like, wow, I hung up the phone and went, he was actually moved by me not being safe, you know what I mean, that's beautiful that you said.
It's brilliant. Yes,
it was pause for reflection. It was what I reflected on. I was like, wow.
Because here's the thing. When we are dealing with the relationship with ourselves, our relationship with you and you is all we're ever doing at any given point.
Exactly.
And so when you had those moments with him and you weren't and he wasn't expressing himself the way that you would expect him to, how do you really know he wasn't feeling it the way that you were? He just wasn't expressing it that way. And then
indeed, when
you had that moment when he expressed himself in a way that you would recognize that you would do, then you said, oh, he does have feelings. I can love him, or, you know, things like that. We have all of these rules that we make up and say, well, if you do it this way, then I can choose to feel like this. And it's these rules that sometimes, and let me be perfectly, you know, honest here. These rules that we set up for ourselves, sometimes they're there to protect us, and that's fine. But sometimes they protect us for a certain time, and then we continue to use them to limit us.
Right. Excellent point. Yes. And that is a very fine, you know, I don't think people really know when that line, so to speak, has been crossed. You know, when it was protecting us, and then when it's limiting us. Because I have always said there's a lot of things that helped us as a child when we were physically not empowered because we had little bodies and the grown-ups around us had bigger bodies, where those same belief systems are now limiting us because we're no longer, you know, little bodies. We're adults that can make choices. We can come in and out of relationships. We can come in and out of jobs. We can come in and out of life. Because I'll be honest with you, this whole quote-unquote act of violence and myself being involved in it has really brought to the forefront for me whether I choose to live or die and how I feel about that. And it's been an incredible blessing that when there was a moment, you know, that was pretty deep and dark and death was, you know, right there, I didn't go into fear. I went into absolute peace. And I'm like, it was funny because when I went into absolute peace, the violence immediately ended. I mean, it just stopped. Where I was literally like, all right, let's do it, man. End it. I mean, yeah. I was not afraid. I was just at peace with not being a physical being anymore. You can't even describe it. And the interesting thing about it is that one, he had his hands around my neck. There were no marks. I mean, as far as my memory of it, he didn't even squeeze. It's just like his hands went around my neck, and I just went into some sort of altered state and went, you know, Bridge of Flowers, I'm on it. Let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
And now since that time, you know, if it escalates, I'm like, okay, I'm leaving. So it's weird because I don't have a fear of death, but I also understand that, okay, but I am having a pretty good time here. I don't think I want to leave right now, but I can't explain it other than it's almost like that moment drilled a hole that allowed me to connect with something that you don't get when you're playing it safe. It's almost like an accelerated trip to the other side to let you know, well, do you want to die or do you want to live? Because it's almost like the depth of my living has become deeper because I got that much closer to death. Like the paradox.
Nice. Nice. Very Zen statement there. And one of the one of the things that you can play with, too, is that, you know, because since this is exclusively, you know, your thing and this is how you're going about doing it, you know.
Yes,
when
do not try this at home, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I feel like,
it's one of the things
that magician guy? Don't try this.
Yeah, Chris Angel.
Or David Blaine, but same thing, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
See, one of those things when you're playing about it like that, and I do mean playing about it, because when we're looking at our world and how we put it together, you look at the Sanskrit definition of death, and it doesn't mean how we've described it. It means, it doesn't mean that you die and you stop existing. It means not here, present elsewhere. And so if we've been playing around and saying that we are all eternal beings and there is no such thing as death, okay, then that's perfectly fine. And when you are playing around with that and understanding that death is, when death happens, it's going to be by your choice and your choice alone, and it's not something that's going to be predestined, and that's something that's written in some tablet that you can't see, that you know, that you can, you know, find out and then probably change the date. When you die, it's going to be because you want to move on to the next step. It's just the next logical step. And knowing how you can live is really, really what you can take away from all of this. And again, Goldie, however you're living is perfectly fine. For me, quite honestly, I don't care how you're living because I love you for who you are no matter what. And your life is not to be lived. Your life is not to be lived for my approval. And how much of our culture is living a life of approval of others?
Yeah. Did you ever see the movie K-Pax?
Yes.
Yeah.
Love that.
Remember when he choked the guy who was afraid of germs? to help him understand how safe he was.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it sounds crazy and how ironic that, you know, because I know people are going to be like, you know, Goldie's really probably lost her marbles at this point. And let me say thank you both of you for being. It is indeed your presence that brings that my presence shares in my total compassion for sharing this, because I mean I've been in this relationship for a few months now, and I almost felt that I was being a hypocrite to the people on Facebook because I wasn't sharing, you know, like, oh, you know, you guys think I'm all light. Goldie has a dark side. You know, but I knew until I was ready to say it with people who I believed would help, at least energetically. Again, you know, people are going to come up with the assumptions they want to come up with, and so be it. But I wanted to get this message out for all those people who maybe they do S&M, maybe they're cross-dressers, maybe they're drug addicts, maybe they're whatever, knowing that, you know, the typical answer is this does not serve, but in your heart, you're like, no, it does serve me, and I'm not going to be ashamed to do it. It's my life. It's my choice, and I'm not ashamed. And I really do appreciate both of you tonight for being here because I feel good about expressing this. I really do. And like I said, with the two of you, I'm like, you know, it's all in divine order. Let's just put it that way. It's all in divine order.
Yeah. And I think what I see happen, Goldie, is people either support whatever energy is being put out, you know, so we're supporting you because you're being open and you're wanting to share, and you're non-judging of your own experience. You're not saying it's right. You're not saying it's wrong. You're just saying this is what is in my life right now, and this is how I'm experiencing, and it's bringing awareness to my life. Versus how many other times do we see people in these situations and they want to share with people and they want that person to share their judgment of it.
Right. Well, and, right.
You know?
Rock him up. Rock him up. He's a bad boy.
Right. You know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And it's, you know, whoever is on the receiving end of whatever, if it's physical violence or, you know, emotional violence or whatever, you know, I have a client where I'm dealing with where some of this is happening in their business where, you know, there's this group of people who don't agree with the way someone else is being treated. And it's all hearsay within the business. So, you know, it gets really tricky on how to deal with the situation.
Twisted. Of course it does.
Twisted.
It has to be, each individual has to be kind of addressed for their creation of it and their experience
exactly.
of their creation. Yeah.
Right, yeah. And, you know, so that's really where the work is. Like you have been saying over and over, and this is so amazing. And I know at every level that I'm the creator of this experience.
Exactly.
And I know at every level of this, I'm not judging it. It just is what is. And it's bringing me this knowing. And, you know, it's really awesome when we can open up to that, you know, once again. My daughter's helping me to have that understanding. You know, she's
right.
in Afghanistan, and she says, Mom, it is so cool on this base. There are people from all over the world here for the same purpose of peace.
Nice.
And I went, oh, my gosh. I, in my head, you know, I'm a light worker.
Right.
And I'm against war. I'm a peacemaker, right? I don't understand why people have to have war. And my daughter's over there, and she's like, Mom, we're all here for the same purpose of peace. And all of a sudden, I had this huge shift in my awareness of what the military, what, you know, I had this perception of the military being at war and her perception being in the midst of it is we're all there for peace.
Peacemakers. Exactly.
Peacemakers, you know, and so it is the perception, you know, and,
yep.
And, you know, as a light worker, I say, I don't judge. I don't understand. So is that not a judgment also? I don't understand why.
Well, right, because
you
the
know,
ultimate is just to accept it. That's, because, like, for me, anger has been something I have not dealt with in my physical expression. So by dealing with this relationship, I'm getting an understanding of anger. I mean, it's not that I haven't experienced it, but I've held it in, and it's, and what's interesting, first I held it in from feeling, you know, like, you know, I'm not supposed to talk about it, I'm a girl. Then my next level took me into light workers, when the light workers, and I don't mean this from your perspective, I mean it from mine, the light workers all going, you know, get rid of the dark, only think good thoughts. It was like this buildup of, well, when do I get to experience the dark? Because I have it in me. And, you know, at some point I want to experience it in total acceptance. Because as I experience it in total acceptance, I alchemize it, not by taking it away, but by giving it the value that it has served me in a planet of duality. In duality, there has to be a good guy and a bad guy, the white hat and the black hat. That's the nature of duality. And I'm having such an understanding, an awareness that the darkness wants recognition. And again, because I'm one of those that will play in dangerous places, I've kind of been self-appointed in going, I'm going to give you that recognition. Because I haven't, you know, he's been like, I know, you want me to go to anger management classes. And I'm like, no, don't change. I'm here to experience you exactly as you are. And, you know, he'll kind of look at me cross-eyed, you know, like, wasn't expecting that. You know, and again, at this moment in time, I'm at a space where I've had so much awareness that I'm like, okay, I'm not feeling drawn to go over there. I'm not, you know, preaching to the choir, get this man help and blah, blah, blah. I'm just going, at this moment, I'm good. And, you know, I can't even explain it other than from a physical point of view, my stomach and my energy is no longer being drawn at this moment. Again, that could change, and I'm open to it changing. Where I feel, you know, a sense of, okay, you're cool, I'm cool, the anger's cool, I'm not trying to suppress it in myself, I'm just acknowledging it as a true value. And it seems like there's an alchemy that happens when we acknowledge it to having value, the story goes away, then it's just information. It's not necessarily, you know, painted with a color of judgment, it's just information. And from an informational point of view, I'm like, no, I'm going to choose a relationship. I'll choose being alone now. Now I'm cool being alone. I'm not drawn to, because an interesting thing about dealing with the relationship with anger, I had another ongoing relationship with guilt. A gentleman that I worked with, or, you know, played and danced with intimately, who I started getting through my awareness of dealing with the anger, I got the awareness that our relationship was about guilt. And it was like this light bulb went over my head, and I went, guilt is not something. My mom never raised us, ironically. I was raised Jewish, but my mom always said, you know, you have a right to a voice, and I want you to know that you have power to say what happens, from punishment to how late you stay up to what shows you watch. I mean, she always gave me and my brother intentionally a voice because she didn't have that growing up. And because we had that, I didn't experience the whole paradigm of guilt, which helped me to understand that this other gentleman, his paradigm is guilt, and because I don't have a resonance with it, because everybody kept saying, why are you dealing with this guy when you have this guy over here who's, you know, he's such a nice guy? And I'm going, the awareness came to me, I'm not attracted to him because I'm not attracted to guilt. I don't need the lesson of guilt. And so it's like, you know, I've been told that we had past lives together, which I don't doubt that. I mean, there was a resonance at first, but in releasing, so to speak, not releasing, embodying the anger, I also was able to embody the relationship of guilt. And at this point, I feel very much no baggage. I am sovereign. I am able to create joy in my experience without another man, or I don't need a significant other right now. I mean, my desire is to go down that path, but in my now moment, I am creating joyful experiences through Facebook, through my kids, through being in the woods, through having friends like you, through opportunities that when I was growing up, I didn't think were even possible. I mean, when I was growing up, my mission in life was get married, have kids, and please my man. I mean, that was a major belief system in my kind of implanted in me. And now I am free from that because I'm facing all aspects of myself. That was a little long. You guys have much patience. Thank you. It's really a very powerful experience to be expressing this. So it really is. Thank you. I'm just so grateful to both of you, truly.
You know, our pleasure. That's one of the fun things about living this life in this expression, because when you can accept everything that's going on within your experience, when you understand how, what your emotions are telling you and what they mean, like for myself, I knew very early on that I was a very, very happy person. Then something happened in my life where I became very angry. And within exploring my personal anger and knowing what was going on with it and the places that it took me, I knew and I know that I have the potential to be the greatest expression of love, life, fun, intelligence that I could ever be on this planet. And I also know that I have the exact opposite of where I could be the darkest, most, you know, whatever, the exact opposite of who I am now. Imagine who that person would be. That is me. I have the capacity to do that. It's just where I choose to place my energy, because you talk about, yes, we are so free, and we have been so free that we have chosen bondage. And
exactly. That's the paradox. Yes.
And that's that
place
where we
can choose bondage consciously. I mean, on soul level consciously.
And again, this is where you're playing and you're putting it together however you like, because it's how you are wanting to experience this life because of what you're adding to it. There are certain people, Goldie, that will only hear your voice. And because they only tune themselves to your voice, what you say will have a beautiful resonance with them, and it will help them in the level that they're ready to accept. Just as there are people that will only hear Dawn's voice or my voice. Everyone's voice has the right to be heard, and there are people that are going to be there to hear it. And you want to, you don't have to, but it's just when you let yourself live in this joy of your true expression and really understanding how you are putting this wonderful, delicious recipe that you call your life together. And you go, okay, I'm free and I'm happy and I chose this for some particular reason. And it's not like you need to figure it out. It's just the fact that, look, you just chose it, okay?
Exactly.
I chose it, I did it, okay, I got it, and fine. And I'm going to choose something different. You know, that's all it ever has to be. It's not like you have to do this to tell the story so that someone else can understand what was going on here so they'll learn from your story. No, it's just the conscious thing that you did in that moment that produced that result, and you can just move on. It's something that you did. You don't have to go back and rework it. You don't have to go back and really analyze, why did I do that? Look, you just chose it.
Right.
And you can choose better, because we get so caught into the problem, and going back and figuring out where we went wrong, when you can just not worry about where you went wrong, just continue to go right. And it's right for you. It's not right according to me. It's not right according to Dawn. It's not right according to our social structures. It's what's right for you.
Yeah.
That's what's most important. That's what's, you know, where you can have this freedom and this excellence for your life, and just really drink it in and have this truly wonderful, unique experience. And when someone looks at you and sees what you're doing, perhaps they can have an idea of going, wow, if she can do it, so can I.
Mm.
And that's the fun that I get out of, you know, this life of, you know, doing that for myself, because I'm just as happy as I want to be, and I continue to be happy for myself, and then other people will either choose to be happy or they won't, but I know they have that same choice to choose freedom and happiness just like I do, and if they're choosing something different, I'm not going to, you know, say that they're wrong for it. That's their choice.
Yeah, no, because another thing that I got from this all is, like, the word happy for me, this kind of goes back to what you were saying earlier. My goal has never been to be happy. Like I said, because I've lived in the dark most of it. I mean, my goal at first was to not to be afraid. Not to be afraid. Oh, yeah, that was good language. when I first went through the ascension, the awakening, I mean, at 30, literally my intention was, okay, I just can't be afraid of everything anymore, because I was afraid of everything. I mean, I was afraid of relationships. I was afraid of what people thought about me. I was afraid. I was a drug addict and a drug dealer. I was afraid of being caught. I was afraid of losing my mind. I mean, I was afraid of everything. So that was my first goal. You know, I just don't want to be afraid. How about we just try and not be afraid? And now what I'm starting to understand is there are certain words, and I'll tell you, the English language just doesn't do it justice. But for me, I've taken the word joy as my all-encompassing word. So for me, I have defined joy to be all-inclusive, similar to what I was saying about joy includes the preferred emotions, which, you know, the elation, the bliss, the ecstatic, all the good ones, for lack of a better word. But joy also encompasses, quote-unquote, the ones we don't like so much, the sadness and the aggravation and the frustration and the confusion. Because I'm starting to recognize we have to define our vocabulary. If we're going to come into a unified state of being, then our vocabulary has to reference that unification. Because I have days where I'm feeling expanded and off the chart, off the hook, you know, me and the star Sirius, which is 8 light years away, I am the space between here and there, and I'm conscious of it. And then I have days where, you know, I am so tightly wound, my stomach is in a knot. I'm like, I got a little bit of a cramp, you know, I'm probably a little constipated, and I'm not feeling the expansion of the cosmos. But that's still joy, because I'm recognizing it as the unification means it's bring it in. I see the posts all the time, we must conquer the darkness and we must push it out of our lives. And for me, it's the exact opposite. Bring it in, because I really believe my expansion comes from the more I take in, the bigger I grow. And that includes everything. It's just about redefining it from, you know, the, like I said, the emotional belief around it to, like what you were saying, is it let's just redefine the definition of, okay, that's not my preference, but it clearly has value. So it's still up there as an honored experience. It's just not one that I'm going to choose now that I know I can choose. I mean, that's another thing about the unification part. I know I have a choice. I remember there was a time in my life when I was like, can we pick how we feel? I remember saying that to one of my very first therapists. Can we pick how we feel? I mean, I don't think everybody on the planet believes you can change your belief structures. I think there is a belief that says people feel, hey, the card you're dealt is the card you're dealt. That's who you are. They don't even have a concept that you can actually, literally from a DNA and cellular structure, change your beliefs. And yet, I'm living proof, because like Dawn said, I'm not the same physical being that, quote-unquote, used to lead with my wounds. I mean, I used to shake people's hands when I met them and go, hi, my name is Goldie. I was molested as a kid. I felt that they needed to know that. I swear to God.
Well, okay,
and mostly who I did that to was guys I was dating, as if that was going to be a real, you know, oh boy, I want to spend the rest of my life with you.
Right.
You know? So it's like this whole idea of unification, when the perspective goes into being unified, we have to change all of our polarized thinking, or not just thinking, all our polarized definitions, because what's good and bad is all self. And, you know, it's no longer about the war of good and bad. It's about the alchemy of the zero point of both of those spaces. Because, I mean, I'm starting to really understand. Hot and cold are all temperature. What is the point that water becomes hot or water becomes cold, per se, from a subjective point of view? So, you know, somebody might say, you know, 32 degrees Fahrenheit is freezing. Okay, but it got cold before it was freezing. What point is that? You know, some people might say 45 degrees. Some people might say 50. Some people might say 70. You know what I mean? It's so subjective. For myself, I'm just kind of having a blast in this center space, because it seems like for me, never have I been so empowered in my own experiences, just my own experiences, not anybody else's, just my own. And I'm grateful for that, because I have been seeking self-empowerment for pretty much all my life, but consciously for the last 15 years. And, hey, it better late than never. What do you think about that, Donnie?
Well, I find it interesting that you want to have these big experiences in your life, you know, to, you know, bring you more awareness or whatever the case may be.
Right.
And so, you know, there's no judgment on that. I just love to hear, you know, other people's way of being, and go, and personally I go, yeah, I had some big experiences when I was young, and I decided to be over with that, you know?
Well, you know what's funny about that? Because you know what's going to happen when, quote-unquote, Golden Hawk has a child?
Right.
Tune in. Because when Goldie has a child and there's a being that has, you know, because I have a feeling that will become the unknown of unconditional love for me, but that is going to spin me, because you know, I get it. That it's me. I'm 45. I it's me. My family is this. I mean, I got my dad and my brother, but I won't exactly say that I live for my dad and my brother. You know, whatever's going to happen to them is going to happen to them, and that's the where we are. Where mm-hmm. if I have a child, this is going to put to the test everything I say, because now I got to apply what I'm saying to the child. That, won't that be an interesting little Showtime special?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I just, you know, it's like,
wow, you know, this is a different way of being, because right now in my life, I'm just like really happy having grace and ease and, you know, acceptance of my life and acceptance of my relationship with Jeffrey and opening up in what I feel for me is a more graceful way. And so for me right now, that's what works. But definitely, you know, everyone plays their game of life however they want to play. And yet, you know, a lot of people, you know, sometimes don't understand why I'm not going to extremes or, you know, different places of drama in my life with having a daughter in the Air Force in Afghanistan, with having a son in prison. You know, sometimes people, they want to go there for me, you know. Oh, my gosh, you know, how are you handling that? How are you dealing with that, you know? And I just go, you know, in the normal Dawn way of just allowing them to have their experiences and observing and watching and sharing with them any way I can and, you know, not having a judgment one way or the other on it. So it's fun to play.
Honestly, it is fun to play, isn't it? It is. It is. What do you think about that, Jeff?
Oh, that's I can agree more. And it's really wonderful.
Yeah.
It's really wonderful when you're really dancing your dance and really letting your heart sing, letting your soul being expressed in every way that's possible, and knowing that you have the choice to choose how you feel. And you know, let's just see if we can clear something up here with the time that we have left here. Because all of the issues and things that we've talked about fear, we've talked about presence, we've talked about death, we've talked about how the dynamics of relationship work. What's been this underlying energy that's running through all of this? And for me, what the underlying energy has been the energy of trust. And it's been trusting within you.
Yes.
Because people have their trust issues. I don't know if I can trust him. I don't know if I can trust this. How am I going to know if this is going to be successful if, you know, if I haven't had the experience of it being successful first? Well, you do just have to trust. And here's what can clear up. And these are my rules. I make them up. Here's what can clear up all of the trust issues that you have within your life. Easily summed up by this. Through this show, through this conversation, we've acknowledged that we've been conditioned to choose from a place of victim and to choose from a place of empowerment. And since I can acknowledge that, that's what I was being conditioned into, and so now no matter what happens in my life, I am going to choose to respond from a place of empowerment rather than a place of being a victim. And that is the only trust that I ever need to achieve.
That's deep. It's very true, too. Because don't you believe, though, that trust is something, it's almost like, how do we not trust? In other words, we got to be trusting in something. Either we're putting our trust outside ourselves or we're putting our trust inside ourselves. But it almost seems like, you know, if you're not really in alignment, so to speak, or you don't feel in alignment with the way your life is unfolding, it's not like we have to learn how to trust. Trust is almost like, you know, people are like, I'm going to eliminate all beliefs. It's like, no, beliefs are what create our experiences. You're in a physical world. You have to believe something. These are all just about becoming conscious of what are you putting your trust in. Conscious of what are your beliefs that are creating your experiences. Because for me, as I become the creator of my life, I recognize that the rules, so to speak, are different than when the focus of my life was, you know, to be a wife and a mother. They're just different. Meaning, you know, as I grew up as a kid, you know, that was like, okay, that's what you're going to do. You're going to be a wife and you're going to be a mommy. You know, and it's like, you know, somehow Goldie went, no. I'm going to jump off of buildings. I'm going to ride on top of cars. I'm going to do tremendous amounts of crazy things, drugs and sex and rock and roll. And then I'm going to come to a point in my life where it's like, okay, now I own all of it. I own my body. I own my relationships. I own my level of awareness. And it just seems to me that it's not like we think that we have to learn how to do things, quote unquote, right, when it's really learning that we're already doing these things. These are just, it's almost like the breathing. We do trust. Do we trust that we're going to fail? Well, then we're going to fail. You know what I'm saying? It seems like we have to become conscious of what we're putting our trust into, as opposed to trying to put our energy into learning to trust. Trust is it's an isness.
Or is it opening?
Go ahead.
What
you're trusting is you are trusting in you and only you. Because if you are understanding that things are going to continuously happen throughout your life, Goldie, and since you can't control what's ever going to happen within your life, you don't need to think more of yourself or less of yourself because of what's happening. And when you are trusting within you, well, then you have everything that you want. You have everything that you need. Then again, these are my rules. I make them up because this is how I feel about it.
I love that you qualify that. Thank you. It's beautiful. Thank you. Go on.
And again, this is just playing with the rules that we've set up here within our conversation, within this structure, and knowing that the belief, you know, first off, that generates all of the things that we have here, the belief is nothing more than the thought we keep thinking. We keep thinking this thought. We bring it into our experience. It becomes real for us, and now this belief becomes a knowing. But until the knowing was a manifestation, we had the belief that we kept thinking, that we kept thinking, that we kept thinking, and it came into our experience. And then we can realize that we can change what we believe. Since a belief is nothing more than a thought we keep thinking.
Yeah, indeed. I agree with that. Dawn, what were you going to say about the trusting?
Well, for me, it's almost more an opening to be vulnerable.
Okay, can you expand?
Yeah, so for me, I have trusted myself and protected myself, however that may show up in my life. And so, you know, I had this really amazing experience. My work has been for several years about expanding my heart and opening to more love and that type of thing. And what I have recognized is very seldom do I allow myself to really open up and be vulnerable to that purity of what that is for me.
Mm.
And so that's a little bit different way that I've been playing over the last couple weeks now is, okay, I've trusted where I closed off some pieces of me. And I've been opening and opening and, you know, and in playing differently. And now I've come to this space where, oh, well, you know, how vulnerable do I allow myself to be? And how do I want to experience that now?
Mm.
And so within myself, I found this almost labyrinth
you know, within my heart center of, oh, I let people in this far. Oh, I allow myself to love in this way. Oh, you know, so it's like this is how I'm opening to play the game of my life. And so for me now, you know, I've utilized that word of trusting, like you said, almost like, well, okay, I trust in myself. And now I'm realizing, oh, I want to open up beyond for me what that might be to experience vulnerability.
Hmm.
Does that...
I have a feeling as my experiences become more multidimensional, that I will experience the vulnerability. Like, it's almost like at this point, I've played so much in the physical world of, you know, against the grain. That part doesn't so much, I mean, I enjoyed it, but I'm not afraid of it anymore. I'm really not. But, we always have a big but. Yes, we do. When I start thinking about, you know, other dimensions and beings that can kind of, you know, I don't even know, because it's so amazing. In all of my awareness, I don't have a whole lot of conscious awareness. I mean, I've been on a spaceship. Yes, I have. And I can tell you that there was a conscious choice before I went in that experience. I remember making it going, I'm afraid, but I'm going to do it anyways. So I believe it kind of prepared me. This is kind of what you were saying earlier about preparing myself. But I have a feeling the next level, it's almost like I'm never going to be completely fear-free. There's always going to be something that I don't know that I'm going to be like, oh, my God, you know, what do I do? And then the trust is going to come in that says, well, listen, you're a frequency. You're a sovereign being. Hold the frequency and jump. But I just know from my own self, the vulnerability is going to come in when it's not air, fire, earth, and water anymore. When that etheric world comes in, which I believe is one step away from the moment I make that choice, then it's going to be like, oh, you know, what am I going to do when, you know, there's a being that's, you know, what, it reptilian in front of me, you know, going, hey, girl, want to hang out? And I'm like, oh, I don't know. Or, because, like, it just seems to me it's the next level for me. And I don't know. I guess I'm kind of, without even knowing it, I feel that it's happening. It is about the next level of awareness. That what you said before was brilliant, that I'm preparing myself for this. It is happening. Because as I say this, it's like, well, remember when it scared you to, you know, even, you know, talk in public, or like you were saying, Jeff, you know, I mean, I was afraid to let anybody know who I was, because I just thought that if people could hate me, it would hurt me. I mean, I really believed what other people thought would affect me. Where at this point, I mean, I love feeling adored and loved on Facebook, but I recognize it as a generation of myself. I am generating that. They're not outside of me. They are aspects of me generating that. And that's, you know, it's just a different perspective, and it's time to become, you know, homo galactic.
That's a fun word.
Yeah.
I'm going to do my show from the moon. Are you guys going to come on my show when I'm doing it from the moon?
You bet.
You rock, Donnie. You coming on, Jeff?
Oh, yeah, you got it.
Have you had a good time tonight, you guys?
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Excellent. Because I can't even tell you, to be quite honest, I'm sweating bullets over here. I mean, I have gone through The temperature in my room right now is easily 135 degrees Fahrenheit, and yes, Goldie would call that hot. listen, promote. I want promote to promote your website. If you have any engagements coming up, share those dates or places to get a hold of yourselves and all that good stuff.
Well, you can learn more about myself and Dawn at our website. It's synergy.com. It's CINNERG.com. You can get a snapshot of who we are. And you can also track us down on Facebook as well and just, you know, hear about some of the things that I've got going on. I've got another book that's coming out soon. It's called Hot Chocolate Happiness. And it's just like the title sounds. It's my nickname, and it's all about being happy and how you can choose to have more of that in your life and really get it. And I've got some book signings and things coming up, but you'll also see that, you know, on my Facebook page for my advertising. And it's just a really fun and exciting time. But, again, our website is CINNERG.com.
Okay, and talk your Facebook page. A lot of my listeners, I mean, I am definitely engulfed in Facebook right now. So the place to connect right now or emphasize would be your Facebook address.
Yes. So my Facebook address would be facebook.com/thehotone. I think that's
the hot one?
The hot one. DAHOTWON. That's right.
You rock. And Dawn, what? You're hot chocolate and you're the hot one.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. And Dawn, do you have any groups or meetings or anything going on?
Well, you know, what I've been doing is I've been doing energetic business consulting, which is really fun, which, you know, I'd love to share more with you guys sometime. It's really been exciting. I've been shown this grid pattern that I can go into and I can look at, you know, the business owners or yourself personally, and then look at the energy of the, and it's really, really exciting for me, Goldie, because, you know, I walk this line in the corporate world and in the energetic world, and so now this is really a perfect place for me because it's blending my two talents. And I've wondered why I've stayed in the corporate world as long as I have, and now I know why, because this new modality has been given to me, and I'm really getting, you know, the techniques down and working with quite a few people, and that's really exciting. I also have been giving, and I'm in the process of putting together some techniques called the 12 Faces of Affluence. And so there's one complete sigil that has all 12 faces together, and then each of the 12 faces will have their own energy that goes along with them, and you know, their own little mini classes. And so I'm putting together, this won't be up and running probably till the first of the year, but I'm going to run like weekly like teleconferences on this. And so that's really what I'm doing and very exciting. And people can reach me through Facebook or through synergy.com also. And I think,
well, can I ask,
probably, yeah, go ahead.
Can I ask a question? If someone, let's say their business was, they were looking to promote a book, could you
right.
also work with them energetically from, meaning it's not necessarily just a business, I mean, meaning the typical storefront, it could be anything that is kind of involving
anything
business and right
creation.
Right?
Yep, anything creation. They're willing to create. And this process is really being present in the now. And so we do a lot of
like kinetic testing, you know, on brochures and websites and pricing and directions to move and, you know, besides me looking in the energetic grid and, you know, there may be physical blocks within your body or energy blocks within your body. To, you know, if you're a bigger business, maybe blocks with employees or, you know, with contractors or it's just
huge.
But you
also could be building a house. I mean, I know a lot of
yeah,
people
sure.
Building a house, they're like, God, you know, this is turned into just the biggest pain in the neck. So it's really anything that's of creation. Now, can you
it really
do this,
is.
Can you do this from multiple locations? In other words, can somebody be in another state or another country, or does this only happen live? I mean,
no,
you know,
it definitely, I can do the consulting over the phone. I've been working with someone in Hawaii a little bit,
okay.
And I'm in Wisconsin, you know, so,
okay.
Yeah, it's, and I'm working, like
listen,
you said, I'm working with
running,
people on stuff. And,
yeah.
You know, on their own stuff, I'm working with people on huge business stuff. Like, you know, one person I'm working with, it's a whole new banking model. So that's like a huge, huge thing I'm working on someone with. You know, I'm working with someone who has, you know, got employees. Subcontractors, and so this is just like amazing to me, and it's really so much fun and so much joy right now. So,
yeah, no, Dawn, and I know that when I said that I knew while I was here right now, I get that it's in the creation mode, but your sound, so to speak, your note in the song is also very clear. You know, it's if it's not in this moment, it's coming. You know, I mean, it's on the next board.
I totally, you know, have felt I've been playing a along with other people's tunes, so to say,
yeah.
For a while.
Yeah, exactly.
And I really feel like this is my tune. And lots of people are doing lots of kinds of business consulting or creating financial abundance. I'm working with people on raising their financial, their calibration from power versus force around U.S. currency up to the level of gold. Because once you move to the level of gold, you don't even need currency anymore because you have instant manifestation. And
Yeah.
I'm doing so many things.
We're going to do a show. We're going to do a show. And, Jeff, I definitely want, if I can, I want dibs on the show when the book comes out so we can get some copies out. And if you can mail me a book or email it to me, I'd be honored and delighted to read anything that you create, anything. You guys, you're both truly amazing. Also, Dawn, when you get your thing done, make sure I get something so I can put you a link on your work on my website.
Cool.
So whenever that's taking place, yes. I love you both.
Cool.
Truly,
I love you
too. I can't even tell you how genuinely and deeply I appreciate tonight's show. It was amazing. And you guys are just, you're exquisite. You're my angels. And I can't wait to do it again. We'll definitely plan something again, even if we don't have anything going on, just to do this. Talk about what's going on in the moment, because there's a lot going on in the moment.
Right.
And let's just see. Next week I have Gary Willing, who is going to speak about all things Maitreya and Benjamin Krem. So tune in for that. Jeff, you're amazing. You're amazing. Thank you. I love you, babe. I love you both.
Love you.
I love you.
Hot chocolate thing, you. And I will speak to you both shortly. Everybody have an amazing week and stay authentic. It's the only way to play. I'll talk to everybody soon. Bye.
Bye.